I want you to turn, please, to Philippians, and we're going to be in chapter number 2. Philippians, chapter number 2. In this message, which will involve Philippians 2, 19 through 24, we're looking at Paul's commendation of Timothy. We've already seen Paul's opening greeting in 1, 1 and 2. We've also already seen Paul's thanksgiving and prayer in 1, 3 through 11. In addition, we've seen Paul's circumstances and desires. Then, before we get into our text tonight, we've seen Paul's exhortation to unity, which has four parts. His exhortation to unity in view of difficulties from unbelievers. That's 1:27 to 30. Then his exhortation to unity in view of difficulties from believers. You know, you kind of expect difficulties from unbelievers, but frankly, I've had more difficulties from believers than I have from unbelievers. I don't know why that is for sure, but maybe it's my not always such a winsome personality. Then we saw his exhortation to unity in view of Christ's example, and then his exhortation to unity in view of Paul's own example. That was 12 through 18. And now we come to Paul's commendation of Timothy. And I think I left that word commendation printed for you. See, I did something nice. You be sure and thank me later. Hopefully that's the only one I failed to get rid of. Timothy was apparently converted under the ministry of Paul on Paul's first missionary journey. We don't really have an exact verse that we can point to that indicates that he was a convert at that time. However, Paul refers to him as my own son in the faith in 1 Timothy 1:2 and as my dearly beloved son in 2 Timothy 1:2. Neither one of those is absolutely certain that it might not mean something else, but it surely seems to give a hint that this is what it refers to, and that would be that he had been responsible for seeing Timothy get saved. And then as we go on, we read about Paul's experience in the area where Timothy grew up. And we read about this in Acts chapter 14. You might want to turn to that passage. I don't think I printed that for you since it takes up about 2 pages. And I'm going to look at verses 1 through 21. Now, how much of what is mentioned in Acts 14 Timothy may have witnessed is not known. However, it was at this time that Timothy was apparently saved. So he may have been somewhat familiar with what took place at that time in that area. Starting in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 1, we read, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they is Paul and Barnabas, went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected." It means poisoned their minds against the brethren. "Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and it means to mistreat them, and to stone them, they were aware, it means they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, means and to the surrounding region. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. Okay, so he's been a cripple all his life, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." Now remember, he's never walked in his life. I don't remember how old he was. I don't know whether this passage says it, or it's another passage that says it that I'm thinking of. I was reading in Acts, and there's one there that said it. Anyway, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright," and he leaped and walked. Now, some of us who are a little more mature, when we get up in the morning, we make sure we are hanging on to the bed or the dresser or something, because we may just be a little wobbly. At least that's my experience. Blood pressure medication maybe does that. I'm not sure. But anyway, I've got that. I wish that were all I had, but you know, I keep the pharmacies in business. Anyway, so much for that. He leaped. Never walked in his life. He stood up and leaped. I'm not sure I want to try leaping anymore. I used to. Somehow I might give it a big effort and my feet might still be attached to the floor. I'm not sure how that would work. I think I'll just go on in the text and not get worried about what I might do. Anyway, he leaped and walked, and not dizzy, walking normally like most people could. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter. Jupiter is another name for Zeus. And Paul they called Mercurius, or Mercury, another name for Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, or if you prefer Zeus, one's a Greek and one's a Roman name, same pagan god, however, which was before their city, means which, who was just outside their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They're going to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, which when the apostles Paul and Barnabas heard of, they tore their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities." Isn't the vanity something that we have in the bathroom or the bedroom or something like that? Well, this isn't that kind. This means these worthless or useless things. I'm sure my wife never thought any of her vanities was worthless, okay? I'll just leave it at that. "Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which or who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein," meaning in them, "who in times past suffered or permitted all nations to go or to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he, meaning the living God, did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Now take note, these are examples of general revelation. And he's doing this because the audience there was not necessarily entirely Jewish. In fact, some of these, majority of them may have been Gentiles and would have no knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And so when they witnessed to them, they used general revelation instead of quoting the Old Testament. And with these sayings, scarce, meaning scarcely, or with difficulty, restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither, means they came, there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now, these are not Jews that had gotten saved. These were Jews that were very mad at Paul, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew, meaning dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead, or supposing that he was dead. Was he or wasn't he? Good question. There was either a miracle performed here in raising him from the dead, or else there was a miracle performed here in keeping him from dying, and I don't know which it was, but there's some kind of miracle there. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. I wonder how long that took. I don't know. And came into the city. Sounds like he came into the city under his own power. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's where he'd come from. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. I shouldn't have said it. It sounds like they returned to Derbe. They hadn't gotten there yet. They returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch. This is what was going on while Timothy was a young boy. I don't know how young he would have been. He might have been a teenager. We don't know. By the time Paul gets back there, he's still a young man, but young is kind of relative. You know how that goes. We're all young, aren't we? Yeah, right. Some of us are a little more mature in our youth than others of you, all right? The first mention of Timothy in the New Testament is in Acts 16, 1 through 3, where we learn that his mother was a saved Jew and his father was a Greek. We also learn in 2 Timothy 1, 5 that his grandmother's name was Lois and his mother's name was Eunice, and that both had been saved before Timothy. Timothy had a good testimony before the Christians at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted him to accompany him on his second missionary journey. So when Paul shows up at the beginning of his second missionary journey, he wants Timothy to join him. From then on, Timothy became a traveling companion and close associate of Paul. Paul would eventually write two letters to him, which have been preserved in the New Testament. They're known as 1 and 2 Timothy and are two of the three epistles known as the pastoral epistles, which teach us much about what God expects from the pastoral ministry. Now, back to Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Obviously, Paul is in prison in Rome. He's still in his own hired house and able to receive guests. Timothy is with him. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, as translated, but as introducing a mild contrast, it may instead indicate a continuation of the thought in the sense of now. I trust. It's I'm hoping, or I hope, in the Lord Jesus. What does he mean by that? Does he mean in the power of the Lord Jesus? Could be. In the person of the Lord Jesus? Could be. Within the will of the Lord Jesus? Could be. Take your pick. I don't know which one it would be. What Paul hopes to do is to send Timotheus shortly unto you, where you is referring to the believers in Philippi. As we know, sometimes our given names are not what we're typically called, all right? Timotheus was his given name, but we sometimes know him as Timothy. Shortly means quickly, at once, without delay, probably best soon in this context, because it's not clear how soon it will be, but he wants to send him soon. Paul desired to dispatch Timothy to Philippi as soon as practical, in order that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. That suggests purpose, in order that, or for the purpose that. I guess it could indicate result. I also, refers to Paul, that I also may be of good comfort, that I may be glad, or I may have courage, or I may be encouraged when I know, is understood in the sense of after I know or after I come to know. Your state refers to things concerning you. It's not the state in which Philippi was located, like, you know, Hendersonville is located in the state of North Carolina. He wants to know what's happening in the lives of the church people in Philippi. Paul was expecting to send Timothy to Philippi so that Timothy might be able to report back to him how things were going with the believers in Philippi. Paul was not planning to send Timothy to Philippi for a long or extended visit. His visit to Philippi would be just long enough for Timothy to learn how the believers in Philippi were doing, and he would then report back to Paul in Rome. I remind you, maybe I don't need to, but I plan to anyway, I remind you that Timothy was with Paul and Silas when they first went to Philippi. So the believers in Philippi would have known Timothy fairly well. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul is referring here to Timothy, for maybe just explaining something, and may also be emphatic, like indeed or in fact or certainly. This word for probably has about a dozen different ways of translating it. We have words like that occasionally too in English, and we never know what the meaning really is. But this one, a variety of meanings. Just you have to pick it out from the context. I have no man like-minded refers to Timothy who would relate well to these Philippian believers. In addition, they already knew him personally as a result of his having been with Paul when the gospel was first preached in Philippi. At this time, Paul had no one else with him in Rome who was available and who was better suited for this mission than Timothy, or who would go and naturally care for the Philippian believers. He didn't have anybody else like that. It sounds like Timothy was a very gentle man that could go and help people that were concerned about many things. No man, simply no one or nobody, like-minded, of like soul or of like mind. Such a one who, it's what we call in Greek a qualitative relative pronoun. I know that doesn't mean a thing to any of you. But what it means is instead of it just saying who, it is understood in the sense such a one who. It's speaking of his quality, who will naturally, who will sincerely, or who will genuinely care or be concerned about you. that's a good trait for anybody that's working in the Lord's work is going to have. He's going to have this genuineness, this concern for the people with whom he works. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Well, verse 21 is supplying the reason Paul had no one like-minded who will naturally care for the state of the Philippian believers like Timothy. For may be explanatory, or it may be used in the sense of because here. All implies everyone available to Paul except Timothy. All seek, all are seeking, and describes the spiritual state of some who were with Paul at this time, who might also have been able to go to Philippi, but Paul chose not to send them because their personalities or their demeanor would not fit the people in Philippi like Timothy's would. Still others might have been well qualified but not available because Paul had sent them somewhere else for some one reason or another. All seek their own. It means they seek the things of themselves. It's kind of hard to get away from self sometimes, isn't it? We need to be very careful that we seek to be helpful to others more than just watching out for self. They seek their own, the things of themselves, not the things which are Jesus Christ's, not the things of Jesus Christ. Did Paul maybe have a man by the name of Demas in mind or others like him when he wrote these words? You may not be that familiar with the name Demas, but it's reasonable to believe that he may have had Demas and others like him in mind. In Colossians 4:14, Demas is mentioned as being with Paul during Paul's first Roman imprisonment and sends greetings to the believers in Colossae. But within 5 or 6 years, according to 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken Paul, having loved the things of this present world. What Paul is saying is that some people, including some Christian workers, and I don't have any in mind, but people are people, and some Christian workers need to grow up spiritually just like other people do. They're interested in themselves more than they're interested in the Lord Jesus. And they're more concerned about providing for themselves and doing things for themselves than they are about serving the Lord. What an indictment of some in the ministry today, as well as some who may have been with Paul in Rome at this time. We who are full-time Christian workers must guard our own thinking and practices so that we are not, or that we do not become guilty of seeking our own things rather than the things of Jesus Christ. And what's good for the full-time Christian workers is also good for the rest of the believers as well. We must all be more concerned with the things of Christ than we are with our own things. Now, look, you understand this. A number of you are mothers. And if you're not, you had parents, or else you had somebody else in your life that wasn't doing well. And you went out of your way to take care of that person. Okay, you ladies, if you have a sick child, you've done it. Some of you have done it with a spouse. Some of you have done it with somebody you really didn't know. Nurses. I was amazed at the quality care and the tenderness of the hospice workers with my wife. I just was absolutely amazed. They... They really were special. And I've been told that about by other people that have had different ones. It takes a special person to do that sort of thing. But you know, we Christians should be like that too. The others in the church should be put ahead of me, the pastor. Yeah, I'm the leader. I understand that. I don't mind leading. But sometimes we need to take care of the sheep because they are hurting or sick or something. Timothy, I should start another paragraph earlier. It would be good for all of us to ask ourselves from time to time, what is the most important thing in my life? My finances, my pleasures, my home, my car, my truck, my motorcycle, my boat. You don't have snowmobiles around here, do you? If I were in the north, I could say snowmobile. My education, my family, my children, my job, my garden, my flower bed, or the things of the Lord. We need to be careful to give the Lord his proper place. If the most important things in our lives are things other than the things of the Lord, frankly, we're making a big mistake. Timothy, however, would not look only on his own things, but he would also look on the things of the Philippian believers, as Paul has written in verse 4. Remember that one? We've mentioned it a number of times. 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Remember Jesus in the upper room the night of the betrayal, washed the disciples' feet. He was serving them and about to give his life on behalf of them. But ye know the proof of him, I'm in verse 22, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Verse 22 continues Paul's discussion of Timothy, but may indicate a continuation of the thought of the previous three verses and be understood as "and." As translated, however, it introduces a contrast between Timothy and others. It could also be emphatic and understood as "indeed" or "in fact" or "certainly." Ye, you plural, ye know, in the sense of you understand. What they know or understand is indicated by the proof of him, where proof implies the quality of Timothy's being approved and is understood in the sense of Timothy's character. They knew him. They knew he had a good character. Paul knew it too. That's why he took him along as a traveling companion. Timothy had been in Philippi previously with Paul, and Timothy's character was well known to these people. He was a man who had been put to the test and had demonstrated himself to be worthy in his Christian service. That as a son with the Father is understood as saying that as a son or child serves with his father. At that time in history, it was generally true that a son served with his own father and learned his father's trade as an apprentice. In the same way a son or child serves with his father, Timothy has served in the ministry of the gospel with Paul, his spiritual father. He hath served means he served as a slave, not looking out for himself, but doing whatever he was told to do. As a result of what Christ had done for him, Timothy had voluntarily enslaved himself to serve his Lord and Master Jesus Christ, doing whatever Christ wished him to do in assisting Paul. With me, he hath served with me, refers to Paul and implies that Timothy and Paul had served together And then the gospel tells where they had served together. It implies that he had served together with Paul in the proclamation of the gospel, which was the good news that Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of all humanity, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day from the dead. Timothy had been with Paul in a number of cities and had come with him to Philippi, where together they had proclaimed this good news that salvation is found in Christ alone. Verse 23, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. There was something that was holding Paul back from sending Timothy immediately. In verse 23, Paul indicates that he desires to send Timothy too, but not until he's learned what his own situation is going to be. Him, of course, is referring to Timothy, and it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which has been retained in the King James translation. Him, therefore, him, consequently, I'm hoping, the same word translated, I trust, in verse 19, and it indicates an expectation the apostle has. In the New Testament, the word translated hope is understood more in the sense of an expectation than in the sense of wishful thinking. You think back to when you were really, really young, and you were trying to figure out what you were going to get for Christmas. And I'm sure you were hoping for something in the sense that you were wishing for something. Probably didn't get it if you were in my family, but it's all right. But if you knew what it was, you were expecting it. Consider the difference between a lady who's wanting to have a baby and a lady who is not yet pregnant. She's hoping, but a lady who's now pregnant is expecting. That's the difference between the two. I think that's perhaps the best illustration I have regarding the difference between the word, the meaning of the word hope in the New Testament and the meaning of the word hope in modern English. I expect, I hope. It goes beyond the idea of Paul's merely expressing what he wishes or desires and expects what he really, or expresses what he really expects to do. Paul's hope or expectation is to send Timothy as quickly as he can presently. Means that Paul wishes to send Timothy at once, immediately, or maybe best, soon thereafter. What Paul is waiting to do before he sends Timothy to the Philippian believers is indicated by, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me, which suggests that Paul is really not certain when this is going to occur. He expects it to be soon, but there is some doubt whether things will really work out this way. Have you ever tried to make a plan for what you're going to do after you take your wife grocery shopping? My wife always took longer than I expected. She didn't buy anything more. She just looked and looked and looked, and I was impatient. Can you believe that I would be impatient? No, you couldn't believe that. No, you wouldn't believe that. I was. I had things to do. I had commentaries to write. I had things to do rather than walk through the grocery store, keeping my eye on her. But the last couple of years, there was no choice. That's what I had to do. What Paul is waiting to see is how it will go with me, which is literally the things concerning me, and it's understood in the sense of as soon as I see the things concerning me. The hint here is that he, as he writes this epistle, his trial is actually over, and he's awaiting the verdict, which will result either in his release from prison or in his execution. As soon as Paul knows the outcome of his trial, he will send word of it by Timothy to the Philippian believers. Of course, if he's executed, Timothy won't have to report back to him. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. But introduces a statement in mild contrast this time. It's a second explanation, expectation of what Paul has. I trust. It's a verb which indicates a state of being. It's emphasizing the result of an action Paul has taken in the past when he placed his trust in the Lord regarding this matter. In Paul's mind, it's a settled matter and not open to second guessing. As a consequence, his trust continues. It means I depend on or I put my confidence in the Lord, indicates where Paul has placed his trust. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognizing the sovereignty of the Lord in everything in his life, he recognizes that the Lord, he is in complete control of everything in life. Things may come as a surprise to us, but they don't come as a surprise to the Lord Jesus. He is in control of everything in your life. I know we like to think we're in control. We need to forget that we're not in control. The Lord is. Also, Paul is hoping myself to come shortly. He wants not only to send Timothy, but he wants to go also to see the people in Philippi. Shortly, it means that Paul would like to come immediately. Paul's confidence that he will soon be released from his confinement in Rome suggests that his trial is over and he's awaiting the verdict. And he's looking forward to his visit to Philippi before his release from his imprisonment in Rome. And that's as far as we're going to go tonight. I thought about adding the next five verses, but once I took a look at how long that would take me to preach, I decided you didn't want me to preach until 8:30, so I decided I'll give you a break this week, but watch out 2 weeks from tonight or last week or something like that. Don't get used to it. Jess, I'll pray you come. Our Father, thank you for this time we can spend in thy word. Help us to appreciate young Timothy for what he was. Help us to be a lot like he was, in Jesus' name. Amen.